Do we believe in God the Father or the Son for salvation? That's what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad you're along for the ride today. We're beginning a short series, Question and Answers. This is where we take questions from listeners and readers and subscribers just like you. So, you can send your questions to us at radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to this interesting question about belief today with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
This is Grace in Focus, and my name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We are taking your questions. We did a series on the Psalms, and I don't know what we're going to do next. I think we might do the Messiah in the Psalms next.
That would be good, yeah.
But I think that'd be kind of interesting. But for today, we're going to take your questions. And the first one comes from Stephen, and it is more of a clarification question. Stephen says, in one of your podcasts, Bob called Abraham the father of Islam. Stephen disagrees with that, and maybe we can just clarify what that might mean. Maybe what you meant was Muslims claim that Abraham is their father.
What I basically meant, and I stand corrected, I think he makes a good point. Abraham did not found Islam. Islam was founded in, what, the 7th century?
Yeah.
By a man named Muhammad. I believe he was illiterate, but somehow he got somebody to write down his musings and things, and I once heard a former Muslim who said that lots of scholars have noted Islam is much like Mormonism. There are lots of parallels. Both of them have special revelation. Both of them have angels revealing things. Both of them are based on the Old Testament and basically distort the teachings of the Bible. Both of them believe God gives some special insights to people, that sort of thing.
Right.
So when I said that Abraham was the father of Islam, what I really, I think, should have said is that Muslims claim Abraham as one of their great prophets, one of their great ancestors,
right.
Basically one of their patriarchs. In fact, Islam says, you know, in Genesis 22, it says Abraham offered up Isaac,
right?
He was about to take his life. According to the Quran, Abraham offered up
Ishmael.
So that's a direct changing of the actual account of what happened.
Right.
But Islam does claim Abraham as its father in the same way that legalistic work salvation Judaism, the people that Jesus was confronting, for example, in John chapter 8, they were saying Abraham is our father, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus says, no, if Abraham were your father, well, then you would believe me, but you don't believe me.
Right.
And we did a previous show talking about this. The point is, in the same way unbelieving Jews claim Abraham as their father, so
sure.
do unbelieving Muslims
sure.
claim Abraham
sure.
as their father. But Paul said, ultimately, Abraham is only the father of Jews who believe in Jesus.
Right.
The believer is the one who is the true Jew,
mm-hmm.
and the same thing would be true of Gentiles. Abraham is only the father of Gentiles who believe in Messiah. And so, yes, I think he's done a good job of correcting me so that what I should have said is unbelieving Muslims and unbelieving Jews claim Abraham as their father, but they're wrong. The only people who can rightly claim Abraham as their father are believing Jews and believing Gentiles.
Right.
And by the way, there are Muslims who have come to faith.
Sure, yeah.
And now they're born-again people. Now they're believers in Christ, just like the person I heard that was comparing Islam to Mormonism.
Here's a question from Monique. If one is saved by believing in Jesus, then why does Romans 4:24 make it sound like we need to believe in the Father rather than the Son to be saved? In John 3:16, is the Him that we have to believe in the Son or the Father?
Okay, this is a great question.
Yeah, so
great.
There's a couple of verses that make it sound like you also need to believe in the Father, the one who sent me.
Right.
You know, how do we parse that out? Can you believe in Jesus without believing in the Father? Can you believe in the Father without believing in Jesus? What's going on there?
Okay. Was it Romans 4:24
is
the one she was concerned about?
Uh-huh.
Starting in 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, talking about Abraham, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification, which I would translate righteous living, but that's a separate show. We've talked about that one before. It seems to me he is saying that we're believing in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's the Father.
Right.
The point would be what you mentioned at the beginning. To believe in the one who sent Jesus is to believe in the one who is sent, that is Jesus. I'll give you a good example. Turn to John 5:24. And if you're driving your car, don't turn with us. But for those of you who are at home and you have time, turn to John 5:24. And Sean, could you read that one?
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, so that's the Father,
right,
has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life.
Okay, now, what is a bit puzzling here is all through John's gospel, Jesus says, he who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47.
Yeah.
Or John 3:16, which Monique also asked about. Jesus is talking about himself when he says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life.
Right.
He's talking about the Son of God himself. And so here he says something different. He says, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me.
Right.
Basically, what Jesus is saying by hearing his word doesn't mean simply hearing the message he's giving, but he means hearing in the sense of believing it. I would say the "and" here is ascensive, that is, even believing in him who sent me. To hear Jesus' word is to believe in the one who sent Jesus.
Yeah.
Remember, at Jesus' baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.
Yeah.
The Father has called people to believe in his Son. He sent him so that people would believe in the Son and be born again. So there's no conflict between believing in the Father and believing in the Son. In fact, in John chapter 5, the reason 5:24 comes up is because Jesus' Jewish listeners were claiming to believe in the Father, but not to believe in Jesus. And his point is, you don't believe in the Father unless you believe in the one the Father sent.
Right.
If you don't believe me, the Messiah, whom the Father has sent, then you don't believe the Father.
Mm.
And so she's raising a terrific point. There's no difference between believing the Father and in believing in Messiah.
Well, okay, let's see.
Well, okay, there's a slight difference.
Yeah, let me see if I can push.
You're getting ready to push me.
Because, you know, because people will say, I mean, there's a lot of Christians, cultural Christians.
Right.
They believe in God the Father. They believe in the Trinity. They even believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus for eternal life. They think they need to do works to be saved. Do they believe in the Father?
Okay, good point. Yes, in a sense, they believe in the Father, but not in the sense spoken of in Romans 4:24 or John 5:24. Because in those contexts, it's talking about believing in the Father for the everlasting life which is found in his Son.
Mm-hmm.
The message that we find in terms of a saving belief in the Father is you must believe in Messiah. There is no salvation for a generic belief in God.
Right.
In other words, if I believe that God exists, so I'm a theist, that doesn't give me everlasting life.
Right.
If I believe in the Trinity,
right,
and I believe that God the Father, let's say, sent his Son,
right,
to die on the cross, but I don't believe that by faith in Jesus that I have everlasting life, that I've,
right,
not yet believed savingly.
Well, I guess you can say, I mean, the Messiah, the idea of a Messiah isn't what you'd call a skyhook. It's not something that just hangs there. The Messiah is sent by God to save the world. There's a context to what Messiah means.
Yes, yes.
And so when you're believing in the Messiah, you're believing in the God who sent Messiah. You can't believe in Messiah without believing in God.
Right.
But you can believe in a God without believing in his Messiah, but Jesus is saying you're not believing God the right way.
I'm still stuck on this skyhook.
In philosophy, a skyhook is something that it's just a concept that just kind of appears there, and it's supposed to just make sense all on its own.
Oh, okay.
And there are no such... everything is always in a context, you know.
Okay. So. But yeah, believing in Messiah is for something. It's
right.
For everlasting life. Paul says that in 1 Timothy 1:16. I'm an example of those who are going to believe in him for everlasting life.
Right.
So, in order to believe in the Father, I must believe his Son and his promise of everlasting life. So that if I say I believe that the Father exists, but yet I don't believe in his Son, then I don't truly believe the Father, not in the sense that the Lord Jesus is talking about in John 5:24 or that Paul's talking about in Romans 4:4.
Right. Well, I think about that parable Jesus told about the man who owned a vineyard, and he goes to collect, and he sends the servants, and and then the people who are working the vineyard kill the servants. And finally he says, well, I'm going to send my son. Surely they're going to, you know, respect my son.
And then they kill him.
But then they kill the son, which means that you don't respect the father if you don't respect the son.
That's great.
You know, but if you respect the son, you will respect the father. So it's kind of those things are connected.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if we answered Monique's question. I hope we came close. We have a minute or so left.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Abraham, when God promises that he's going to have a seed.
Right.
Abraham believes God's promise about the seed, and that's the moment where he becomes justified.
Right.
So he believes God, but now I can imagine you saying maybe that's Christ's promising about himself coming.
Yes, and Walt Kaiser, who's a famous Old Testament scholar, he says Genesis 15:6 is set in the context of Genesis 15:1-6, and it's believing the promise of Messiah. We see also in John 8:56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, Messiah's day, Christ's day.
Right.
So as a result, what Abraham believed was in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, who did he believe?
Well, that's the other question. Is it the Father talking to Abraham or the second member of the Trinity? I think it was Jesus that appeared to Abraham, and Jesus made a promise concerning himself. Of course, Abraham, I don't believe, understood that the one talking to him was going to be his seed, was going to be the Messiah coming from him.
Right.
But I think Jesus appeared to Abraham many times before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 17:18. When he was talking about the son again, Isaac, on many occasions.
Right.
So
right.
Abraham actually met the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, and he spoke with him. But even if it was God the Father that met with him on one occasion, still what he believed him for was the coming Messiah.
Well, Bob, I'm sorry. I think I just made a hard question even more complicated.
more
but you did
difficult.
A good job.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank you.
Keep on sending us your questions at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about a sticky Calvinist doctrine. You don't want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.